tattoos can be cursed in three different ways, really. The first is that the ink that is used can be cursed. The tattoo artists themselves could be casting a curse or be involved in occult activity. And then also just the symbol themselves. You know, like, if you get like a tattoo like this says "Go Satan," like that's probably not a good and holy thing, you know. So the decommissioning is what we typically do with tattoos, especially unholy ones, and this is always done with oil.
The tattoo itself,
correct?
If prudent.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
People
yes.
have tattoos.
Yes. Yes. If prudent.
If it's not prudent, what do you splash holy water in their general direction?
I would definitely say that. There is hopefully that the oil can be used. Do not be surprised if the person tells you that there's burning as the oil is applied.
But that's okay.
That's a good thing. Okay. Yeah. So I mean, just don't be surprised, because that there can be some kind of curse on there or some kind of hex or something like that on the ink itself, and then when the holy oil comes in touch with that, then there can be a reaction like that.
And we can do that as lay people. Do the cross part. I know that's in your version of it.
We have to ask Jane about that.
Ask Jane. Yeah. I honestly think it might more so be Deacon.
Yeah.
But Deacon Mike Thompson and I prayed with someone, and he was at just such relief. You know, this prayer isn't for like tattoo regret, you know, where you're like, why did I put this daisy on my whatever? He had a very serious satanic thing, truck driver guy. And he came in, and it's expensive and painful to have it removed, you know, and although I would think that would be ultimately kind of the goal for the person, but to be able to pray to decommission.
Well, the other thing, though, is that even in the removal process, those inks are still there. That's the... Yeah, because I think what they do, and please somebody correct me if I'm wrong, I think they use a laser, and I think they like burn off some of it, but it's still very faint on there. So I mean, I'd have to talk with a dermatologist, but I would think that there's probably still some of the ink left in there, and depending on what's the curse, or whatever, there it could be in the ink itself. So I mean, yes, ultimately that they may want to get rid of that. But I would still say do this first before going to see a dermatologist or a tattoo removal person. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is this all tattoos, or are we just talking?
That's a really good
stone.
So you know, I would say if in discernment and prayer and talking to a person, like, it's not normally the first thing that we look at, but usually the Holy Spirit will kind of give you a little prompt. Mm-hmm. I remember in ministry that this person came in and they had several tattoos. And Jane and I just kind of like looked at each other, and we kind of like looked at the tattoo and like, what's the tattoo all about? And then it kind of came out. So I would say kind of more look for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, unless it's something pretty obvious. The other indication would be like the person comes in maybe even years later and says, you know, I got this tattoo. I didn't really think anything of it, but you know, there was witchcraft all around, and the guy was casting spells the entire time, or that sort of thing, or just kind of doing some of that kind of stuff. That would be another indication that I would probably then move to decommission that tattoo.
So is it just safer not to have any tattoos? Just sort of like it's safer not to mess with yoga, or I don't.
Well, I mean, I would say it all depends on the source. So there is a family. Over in the Holy Land, that does tattoos of very holy holy things. And this goes back generations. One of my priest friends, when he was over there, that he got several of them. And, you know, that's a very holy thing. You know, I mean it's a good thing. I mean, it goes all the way back to Crusades and this sort of thing. So there's nothing inherently wrong with it, with a tattoo. It's the source of it. It's the practitioner. It's the ink. It's what is tattooed. That's where you really have the issue. And I mean, you know, let's just be honest. You know, most tattoo parlors that at least I drive past, I wouldn't want to go in. Yeah, I mean, they just kind of just have like this unhealthy, to me, I mean, just this kind of just this oppressiveness around them. At least as I like drive by or walk by, like, yeah, I don't know if I want to go in that place. Some people do, and that's totally fine. Get their Tweety Bird or mom, or, you know. And I think also that, you know, it's a reality that's kind of here to stay. You know, as you look at more and more cars, and I think people, like, they are, like, remembering their loved ones by putting a tattoo on or something on their car, and we can spend here all day, you know, talk about why that is, but it just is what it is, and people are going to get them, and unfortunately, depending on if they go to Bob's tattoo parlor, and Bob isn't maybe into the best stuff, like, sorry, Charlie, but you kind of went to the wrong place.
Yeah. So, but it's good to know there's a way to pray for that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But I would just kind of wait for the Holy Spirit's nudge to kind of.
Right.
Yeah. Tell me about that Tweety Bird.
What did it mean to you?
Yeah.
You know.
Or what was going on when Tweety Bird was being tattooed on? Or
right.
Where was the guy getting the ink? Do you ever mention anything to you about that?
That kind of things. You know, it's just the way that the evil one tries, you know, will attach on to something, you know, to get to that person. So that's good. And the only other one that's new, so some of this in your red folder, we've given you some of the copies so that you can, like, kind of read it at your leisure, you know, to be, because it's hard when you come in for ministry and the person's there, you're ready to pray. But I think we gave him, Tina, a copy of this new shorter trauma prayer that we have. It's 38. Yeah. So you do have a few of those. We gave you a copy of Soul Ties, not for you to pull it out during, you know, Jonah prayer or anything, but just so that you can, you know, prepare yourself. Again, most of you don't have a binder at home. Really read through if you know that you're preparing for a prayee. It's going to be the prayer of Soul Ties. And this is the one due to the oppression due to trauma. Now, this is a brand new prayer to me as well. So Jane says it's one that Bishop Harmon likes. And it's just two pages, as opposed to all that stuff.
Yeah.
You guys familiar with this one? Use this one sometimes?
Yeah. I would say if you read the second page in particular, it could be, the images are very, quite striking. He talks about,
spirit of trauma.
Oh, like with number one, I renounce you, spirit of trauma, in my life. I bind you with chains of fire,
right,
in Jesus' name. Very, very powerful, but also at the same time, it may be something you want to prep the person on, because this prayer kind of has a little bit more of that striking imagery, you know. But just kind of say, hey, we're going to do this prayer. There might be some striking imagery, but just we have a great God. He's a powerful God, and we're just calling on that power, you know. Mm-hmm.
And this is, all this would be repeated then?
Not necessarily.
So.
No.
The leader is saying the word.
Okay. Correct.
But leader, I renounce you, spirit of trauma. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you're right.
It that, says in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be repeated.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So again, it would be something that we'd have to say a stanza or so and have them repeat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even I renounce you, spirit of trauma, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because renouncing really is that you can't renounce for another person. You're relieving. So that's right.
Yeah.
But look how often it, you know, spirit of trauma, and all the things that glom on to spirit of shock, from the different types of abuse, spirits of violence, all of those things that a person can be bound up with when they've had a bad trauma. Okay. All right, so I didn't go through everything that was now in your deliverance section, because I didn't go through, you know, I just mostly went through the things that have been changed, because I feel like we've been, you know, kind of here a long time. I just feel like I hope you feel it's more usable. You get what those are. There's a general, broad deliverance prayer if someone's under particular oppression. There's all those ones in the family line. And these specific ones about trauma and tattoos and all of that. But against unchristian forms of worship, that's still in there, still part of it. The soul ties, the unholy ties, all of those kinds of things are still in there. So I just kind of suggest when you next time you come in for ministry, come in a little bit early or stay a little bit later and read through some of the things so you know you can pull that out as a tool. Right? Tina, do you want to talk about those two prayers? Remember we said we sometimes we're sending people home with really specific things. And I think you're okay.
Are you getting how to keep your healing?
Yeah. No, how to keep your healing should be in all the rooms, all the ministry rooms. And that was exactly what Father was talking. We have this whole handout. How to keep your, it's like 13 things. Stay close to the sacraments. You know, watch your thought life. Stay close to the scriptures. That's a really good one to hand out to people. But the blue one, it should be in all the ministry rooms as well. And it's a nice general healing prayer, but it's a powerful one. So that's a good one.
For handing out, definitely, especially it's a healing prayer. And that's just for them to take home and to do themselves.
Like, yes. To pray on their own, or you could pray it with them. Or the one that's completely this white one, with the Blessed Mom.
This one is more that we would pray.
Okay. Just so you know.
With them. Heavenly Father, we call on you right now in a special way. So we are calling, we as a team are calling on God. And it too, a lady, Mary Mediatrix of all graces.
Yeah.
They're very similar prayers. Very similar. Mm-hmm. This one just goes, I think it's the second paragraph. It's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
So those are good take-homes for people, and you might have other suggestions. You tell them to pray with a little bit of scripture if the Holy Spirit gives it to you in your heart, you know, but then write that down in recommendations. All right. Thoughts, questions? This is a good stopping point, do you think? Yeah. Okay.